Welcome to The Market, sponsored by the CME Group. Dateline, Chicago, Friday, August 19. Hello again, Orion Samuelson here, along with Max Armstrong. And this week, we have three different guests that we're going to be talking to, not only about markets, but about a big event coming up in about 10 days and a lot of other activity that's going on in the world of agriculture and in the business world. And let me begin by saying we've talked about records on Wall Street several times in the past couple of weeks. Well, let me talk about a record that I was involved in this week. Illinois State Fair, where I emceed the governor's auction of Grand Champion Livestock, we set a record. Grand Champion Steer at the Illinois State Fair brought $104,000, an all-time record for the Grand Champion Steer at the Illinois State Fair. And people have been wondering, does the 18-year-old exhibitor get all of that? No, the formula at the Illinois State Fair is he gets or she gets 60%. The other 40% equally divided between the 4-H Foundation and the FFA Foundation. So that way everybody shares in the accomplishments of fellow 4-Hers and FFA members. All right, let's go to Wall Street, where it was really a relatively quiet week from the standpoint of volatility. The Dow down 0.1%. The S&P down 0.0001%, and the NASDAQ edged up 0.1%. And today we ended the week with a lower market led by declines in utility shares, investors weighing prospects for an interest rate increase in the coming months. Again, I'll say what I've said many times before. I don't know why the market gets so concerned about an interest rate increase. The last time we had one was last December, and that was the first interest rate increase by the Fed in 10 years. And the world and the economy of the world or the nation just didn't fall apart. But that certainly was on the minds again today because of some comments by officials of the Federal Reserve Bank, like San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President John Williams, who late yesterday said if the U.S. Central Bank waited too long to raise rates, it could be costly for the economy, and a possible rate hike in September should be in play. And those comments added to statements that we heard earlier in the week from New York Fed President William Dudley. Then there's the meeting next week in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It is the annual meeting of global central bankers who come together in Jackson Hole to talk about the economy of the world and the markets. And Fed Chair Janet Yellen may provide some insight on the rate outlook. And the market's recent run-up to record highs has been partly supported by expectations that the Fed will continue to keep rates low, as well as by some upbeat earnings and economic news. For example, one of the stocks today, Deere & Company, after reporting its earnings for the last quarter that was initially perceived to be bearish, turned out to be just the opposite. As a result, Deere stock was up 13.5%, going to $87.32 after the farm and construction machinery maker raised its full-year profit outlook. And another good stock today was Applied Materials, up 7.1%, hitting $29.64 after the chip equipment maker gave a strong current quarter profit forecast. And so that's the kind of a market that we've been watching on Wall Street, where you get numbers that at first look could be bearish. Turns out they're not so bearish. Well, we're going to talk markets in the commodity world as Max Armstrong sits down to visit with Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group. So stay with us for that. Coming up when we continue with the markets sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you. and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need, today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Jerry Gokey, Gokey Group in the studio with us here. A huge corn crop, huge soybean crop, but the market still handles it in stride. Someone out on the farm might be saying, well, the traders obviously don't believe the USDA either.
Well, they probably don't. A lot of us don't. We think maybe that if you look at their methodology and how they did that, they counted cobs and they assumed some things, that all these things are going to be good ear weights and all that. So it's about all anybody can do. And if you think about it, we do that. I do that when I went in the field early when it's, oh, boy, if it just pollinates, I'm home free. Well, they do the same thing, and then they're going to look again. And then we'll see what we find. And I'm finding some things that are problems. But I think the underlying thing, big crop, but big demand, world demand. We have done nothing to curb demand by too high of prices. So this is we're using a lot of protein, a lot of starch, a lot of corn. And that's the good news, is that one year we're not going to grow a record crop, and we'll see these $5 corn, $6 corn again, because we've got such horrendous demand in there that we're just about using up everything that everybody can produce, even these third world countries, you know, Ukraine and Russia. We have a surplus, but compared to our usage, it's not all bad. Agriculture is not in bad shape. We just grew a little bit too much this year.
Everybody talks about the Chinese soybean demand, but I noticed a story this week about India's soy oil demand based on the fact that they're going to be importing less palm oil.
Could be. I know that they have, we all remember when they were starving, you know, and all of a sudden they became a soybean exporter because they realized what technology and what producing things can do for them. But I asked the same question about India to actually a gentleman from COFCO. I had dinner the other night with him, and also from Smithfield. And that's the other area we don't give a lot of credit to, in their demand potential that's coming. It's just not all about China. It's all about these other countries. And so I watch China, of course, and everybody on TV does, you know, CNBC or Bloomberg or whatever. But we need to watch these other countries. Are they eating more, and are they getting better and increasing their diet? And when that happens, you want to lift, you know, this demand needs to lift all ships, not just China. So one day we'll have more than just China, just like now we had to deal with more than doing U.S. producing soybeans, like at Brazil. You know, what's going to happen when all these beans come on? And now we're using both crops. So I think there's still a lot of demand out there that's waiting for prosperity to help it get bigger, and India is one of them.
But you are comfortable with the numbers that the USDA has adjusted to here. For the time being, you're comfortable with the demand numbers that they've posted.
Yeah, I think my theory is, and I have nothing to prove it, is that they saw this demand finally coming better than they thought. And you can blame benefiting from the thing is in South America, we saw with the corn and the beans there. The assumption for years was we're going to keep producing record crops in South America, and it didn't happen. So when you consider the United States, we'll know more this year to see whether it's 175 in corn or 48 in beans, or whether it's really more realistic, like 168 perhaps and 46 in beans. Because we grow beans and corn just about in every state, beans for sure. South America grows beans from top to bottom. So can we continually expect, with La Nina now coming on, eventually, it's finally going to come, will we not affect one of the Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, Brazil? Are they all going to continue to have record crops? And China doesn't seem to ever have a hiccup, but it's been hot there. So it seems like we've been awful lucky in the last 4 or 5 years to everybody being able to produce enough and not have to maybe buy as much. But total demand still looks good, you know, worldwide.
I guess the bear in me says, you know, Brazil and Argentina is going to plant wall to wall down there this fall. You know, they have the amazing ability to still produce big crops. And you can't count on the Argentine crop getting a devastating flood every year. No. What if they have huge production next year on top of still remarkably big crops in the United States this year?
Yeah, and I think we're already seeing some of that expectations. I mean, if you look at next November soybeans in 2017, it's lower. There's an inverse in it. It's like, I need your beans now, but I may not need them later. We've been going through that for 3 or 4 years. And corn, Argentina will probably produce more corn, and Brazil will too. I think the latest thing, and you have Dr. Cordier on once in a while, you know, listen to what he says, because there's, I think it's looking like South America is only going to increase about 2.5%. next year in beans, maybe three. The exporters and importer people out there think that we're increasing global demand for protein and equivalents, soybean meal and whatever, about used to be about 5% compounded, or about 3.5% now. So we may just be able to keep up with the global demand. And when you think about it, compound interest rates, you know, we haven't been able to use it for a long time because they're zero, but compounding something is a pretty big deal. 3.5% of a big number is a big number, and can we match that incremental increase that we have need each year to do that? And you look back in your long-term situation, we are now producing, using more than we ever than we produced 5 years ago, and everything. You know, so it's the slope is higher. It's just that it goes up in like a sawtooth wave. You know, we have good days and bad days. Like Orion once said, his dad told him, and I remember it well when I was listening to him early in my life. He said, if things are good, they're probably going to get bad, and if they're bad, they're probably going to get good. And if you don't understand that, and you're a farmer, then you're going to learn real quick.
Jerry, it's always good to visit with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry Gahlke, Gahlke Group.
Jerry Gahlke with the Gahlke Group, headquartered in Chicago. At the Illinois State Fair, David Lehman with the CME Group, who works in the agricultural commodity area, was there for several reasons, and he shared them with us, his reasons for coming to the Illinois State Fair.
We're here with the 4-H to promote our game, Commodity Carnival. It's an educational game for kids 7 to 14 years old, where they really learn about the business of agriculture.
And you started this how long ago?
This is our, I believe, fourth year of Commodity Carnival. We have reached 200,000 kids in total have played the games at the fairs that we go to. So we go to state and county fairs throughout the Midwest. And kids love it. They compete for prizes, and they learn a little bit about agriculture.
What is the basic lesson you're trying to teach? How to trade commodities or risk management?
No, Orion, it's really that farming and ranching involves risk. And so they grow a hog and then market a hog in the current version of the game, put a little corn, a little feed in a little egg, and then some input, some health and labor and those other inputs, and then it drops through a random game board called a Piglinko board and lands on a price. And depending on the weight that they put into this egg and the price that it lands on, they find out if they made money or not. And so they find out, as that hog goes through that Piglinko board, there's uncertainty in agriculture and risk, and that hopefully they'll then think about maybe how to manage that risk as they get a little older.
Certainly a graphic way of demonstrating it. How many fairs will you take it to this year?
We'll be at 120 fairs this year. 4-H will be at 120. I won't be at that many, but we'll combine state fairs throughout the Midwest and then a lot of county fairs as well.
Well, in the decades I've been covering markets, it's been fun to see the education of risk management and how to use it in your farming operation. It has grown a great deal, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has, Orion. I've been in this business with CME and Board of Trade for 27 years, and we have constantly focused on educating about how to use risk management tools, the importance, starting with option pilot program back in the 90s, and it just continues. So I think farmers are really, and ranchers, becoming a lot better at managing risk.
Well, when I came to Chicago, it was the butter and egg market. It has certainly changed, and one of the additions among the many is live cattle futures, feeder cattle futures. A good friend of mine, Andy Anderson, was involved in the initial work on that. But over the last year or so, I've talked to a few cattlemen not terribly happy. What's CME Group doing?
We just announced some changes a little over a week ago, Orion, on August 5th. We're going to be increasing the quality specifications in the contract, changing the choice select percentages. Higher quality slaughter steer and heifer are being fed now and being marketed, so our contract needed to be updated to reflect that change in the underlying market. We're also putting a discount at one of the delivery points that's in the northern territories in Worthing, South Dakota. They tend to have a greater supply of beef in the fall months. It's a seasonal discount for October only. So in the fall, they have a greater supply than there is packing capacity to handle them. So there's a freight cost to get those animals to available capacity. And that reflects or results in a discounted cash price in the region. So again, a change to make the contract more reflective of the underlying market. volatility's been the big kind of concern that a lot of the industry have had, both the producers, feeders, as well as the packers. And so we're looking at ways we can perhaps reduce volatility. We are looking at some kind of circuit breaker mechanisms. We haven't reached a decision on those yet. We really think a lot of the driver for the volatility is the cash market has changed. Cattle are now contracted directly between the feeder and the packer through formula pricing and grid pricing. There's not as much negotiated transaction for the futures contract to really look to and know where the market is. So we're working with NCBA. They have a working group that we're working very closely with, and the broader industry, to see what we can do to make that contract a better hedging tool for them.
I saw the percentage of cattle marketed the old traditional way. Not very high, is it?
No, it's not. It's down to 20%. And that's really, we have live delivery on our contract now. We have 13 delivery points at stockyards from Texas all the way up to South Dakota. And very few slaughter cattle go through those auctions in the cash market. They go direct through these formula pricing arrangements from the feeder to the packer. So we're going to really work hard with the industry to see how we might change the contract to make it a better tool for them.
A case of CME listening to their customers.
That's right. We really depend on those customers to give us feedback on how we're doing, obviously. In all of our contracts, we do these reviews of the contract terms routinely in our contracts, and we really do that by listening to the customers, putting a small focus group together typically to work through the issues, and then going out with a broader survey to the marketplace.
And let's close by going back to young people and the Illinois State Fair and other state fairs. What else are you going to be doing here, honoring people in the younger age?
Yeah, this is a really exciting thing we get to do. We're going to be giving $50,000 in scholarships, $5,000 scholarships to 10 award-winning 4-H'ers here at the fair. And this, I love that part of it. You know, these kids work hard. They know that agriculture is a business when they're raising these animals and the things they have to deal with. And so this is just a little way we can help them further their education, go on. And
David Lehman with the CME Group in Chicago. There's an exciting event coming up in a few days. We'll talk about that when we continue on the market, sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
There's a major event coming up in just a few days. Hardly seems it's here again this year. And here's Max to talk about it with his guest.
Orion, it's hard to believe it's week after next. Yeah, just a little more than 10 days away. The Farm Progress Show at Boone, Iowa. Don Torti is vice president and market leader at Penton Agriculture at their offices in suburban St. Charles. First, Don, how many of these shows have you attended over the years?
Well, this will be number 21 on staff, and then, of course, several before that. I still remember as a small child, the first one in Grand Junction, Iowa, just kind of sticks out as a memory in my mind.
People have a wealth of memories about this show. They met people there. They remember equipment being debuted there. It really is remarkable. When you talk to somebody, they'll say, oh, yeah, I was at that show at Washington, Iowa, or I was at the one at Malta, Illinois. It does make memories. Sometimes back in the day, they were related to very muddy fields and parking lots you couldn't get out of. You changed that to a great extent with permanent sites, didn't you?
Exactly. When you were saying that, Max, that's exactly what went into my head. I think some of those memories are not good, but I'll tell you what, having permanent sites like we have in Decatur and in Boone, people are going to love coming to Boone. You know, you have great roads getting in. You have the permanent parking lot, the parking lots that have been a parking lot for several years. And inside you have permanent restrooms and many, many amenities you did not have when you went into a cornfield.
You know, we're talking about this like the permitted sites haven't been in effect very long. I think that just attests to the longevity of the show itself. Actually, you've had permitted sites for more than a decade.
Yeah, we have. And you're right. It does seem sometimes it feels like it's just new, but, you know, the key is to continue to make them as good as they can be. But I'll tell you what, when you go to a show that's not on a permanent site, it makes you appreciate what we have all the more.
I remember going to some of those shows back in the mid to late 70s, and all of the discussion was about iron, how big that tractor can be, how big the tillage tool can be out there. And the discussion has shifted. It's very much technology-oriented. Even though there's still a lot of heavy equipment, there's a lot of tech talk.
That's exactly right. I mean, when I think of Farm Progress Show today, I think of technology. And that can be in steel. It can be steel technology. But oftentimes, it's technology in the cab. It's technology in the seed. It's technology in crop protection. You know, it's that drone. It's a data product. There are so many technological advances today, and the Farm Progress Show is where many are unveiled, and certainly, you know, not only unveiled, but, you know, you can see all kinds of things coming, you know, not only what's here today, but what might be coming.
Just to digress just a little bit, as we're talking about technology, you have a special technology conference coming up right after Thanksgiving out in Iowa this year. That's all it's going to be about, right? Technology.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. It's called the Ag Data Conference, and if anyone wants to look at that, you can go to theagdataconference.com. But that's exactly right. What's the latest technology dealing with data? Who owns the data? What do you do with the data? You know, data is one of those things that can keep people up at night if you think about it, and we're going to try unraveling that from many sides, not only from the company side, but from the farmer side, and we feel being a big publisher out here and our editors talking to growers and talking to companies what they're doing, we can truly be right in the middle and help facilitate that talk.
I'm excited about this. I am actually moderating a panel at the fall conference of the National Agri Marketing Association coming up next month, and the topic is data and technology. And then I think I'm going to be there opening day for your big event at Coralville, Iowa, is where the technology show is. Is that correct?
That's correct, and right at the end of November, so it should be November 29th and 30th at the Marriott, Coralville Marriott, right there in Iowa City. Easy access right off of 80.
The website again for that is?
TheAgDataConference.com.
This has been a year, a growing season with big crops, and of course, big crops tend to depress prices. We've seen markets that farmers are shaking their heads about, although there's been kind of an amazing performance in the wake of the August crop report. But when you find an ag economy that is not as robust as it was 4, 5, 6 years ago, does it hurt attendance at the shows, Don?
It doesn't. A couple things that are happening right now. The commodity markets may not be as robust, but certainly the crops look fantastic. I was just visiting with someone today who drove up to Minneapolis and drove through central Iowa looking at all the crops and how green they still are, how good they look. I think there's a lot of promise out there for an outstanding harvest. But just as importantly, regardless of commodity prices, this is where you can go. Maybe not you're going to buy a new combine, but this is where you're going to buy that new technology that we talked about that may be more important in a time of down commodity prices than it is when things are terrific. So, no, fortunately, it really does not affect it. And, crops are really coming along well. Things seem to be shaping up for a terrific crowd.
You know, I was reminded the other day of the international attendance at this show. For one thing, I was thinking about it watching the Olympics from South America, because a number of South American farmers will attend this show every year, Brazil and Argentina. But I received a message on Facebook about 10 days ago from a farmer in Queensland, Australia, whose farm I visited about 3 winters ago. And Mr. Black said, I'll be seeing you in Boone. And I was reminded of how people come from around the world for this show.
We get over 50 countries coming to this. It's an international buyers program. So even, you know, we work with the federal government to help not only promote that, but more importantly, when these growers are there, to help line up some of the exhibitors with people from different countries so they can work on, you know, exporting their goods. We can help them communicate to see what they want. And truly, it's one of the biggest international shows for agriculture in the United States and continues to grow. And we're not shy about that. I mean, while it is, you know, certainly a national show here in the United States with people coming from almost every single state. We think the globalization of ag and the importance of having, you know, not only a lot of exhibitors from other countries, but also having visitors from other countries really makes for a terrific experience.
Thinking back through the years, as we are wont to do, remembering prior Farm Progress shows, I remember election years when presidential candidates came to the show. Have you had any indication that either of the candidates might try to make it this year?
We have not, you know, but oftentimes those things come at the last minute. You know, for us, they're a lot of work. It's you know, when President Bush was at the Farm Progress Show in Elliman, Iowa, it really changes some of the dynamics. But we're also going, hey, to have the leader of the free world, that really says a lot about the Farm Progress Show. But the two candidates this year, we have not heard anything from either camp.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you there. Both Orion and I will be on stage at ADM all 3 days of the show, and I'll be at Case IH at 10 o'clock, 10 to 11 every day. So we'll look forward to seeing you around there, and we invite a lot of other folks to come join us, too, at the Farm Progress Show at Boone, Iowa.
And hopefully maybe become customers of the CME someday.
Again, we're looking forward to visiting with you. If you're coming to the Farm Progress Show at noontime, well, make it about 11:30. We'll be there with our band Backpage and a lot of interesting guests in the ADM tent every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from 11:30 until 1 o'clock. We look forward to seeing you there. Now, let's take a look at the agricultural market scene as we ended this week. First of all, we did get a cattle on feed report this afternoon, and cattle placed in feedlots in July went up 2% compared to a year earlier, a little bit above analyst expectations. And as we look at the comments from Dennis Smith and his look at the on-feed report, 2% higher on the number on feed, 2% higher on the number placed on feed, and marketing's down 1%. But he said that is not a bad report. Placements above expectations, but not way out of line. Placements of heavy yearling-type cattle were unchanged from last year. It was also noticeable that placements are moving back to the south, with Texas and Kansas seeing cattle placement well above last year. There have been some conversations about empty pens, and so Dennis Smith particularly noticed that some of those numbers are going south once again. But ahead of the market release today, cattle at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange weakened ahead of that USDA report. So on Monday, live cattle futures for August will start at $113.55 a hundredweight after dropping just 17 cents today. And August feeder cattle gained 92 cents today, so they'll start trading at $146.07 when the trade begins on Monday. Meanwhile, short covering and some buy stops sent the lean hog market higher in late session activity today. And so green screen for the lean hog contracts, with October starting the trade Monday at $61.92 a hundredweight after gaining $1.37 in today's trade. Grain market today, we did see a little strength in wheat, a little strength in corn, but weakness in soybeans because I guess there were no Chinese sales of U.S. soybeans announced today. But it's the weather outlook for the Midwest. It continues to point to a record harvest this fall. The forecast for key growing areas of the Midwest showed moderate temperatures, some rain, beneficial for the final stages of development in the maturing process for the soybean crop. So we'll start the trade in the September soybean contract at 10:27 Monday, down 4.75 today. September corn will start at 3.34 after gaining 2.25 today, and December wheat will start at 4.44 3/4. That's our time. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Along with Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson on The Market, sponsored by the CME Group.